He knows everything about us and still loves us. That's amazing. Because he's awesome, because our God is love. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, as we've already been celebrating, as you already know, it is Pentecost Sunday. So we're going to talk about Pentecost and focus on just what I feel the Lord share with me. How important it is that we realize that we have to be filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means, again, to be completely overflowing, to be filled to overflowing. So let's hear what the Lord has to say. Holy Spirit, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. I ask you to lead us, guide us. We've already prepared our hearts by singing about how we want you to send another Pentecost. We want you to send the fire of the day. And we are hungry. We are hungry, Lord. We know that there's more and more of the Holy Spirit. We read it in the book of Acts. We've heard the testimonies of revivals and great awakenings throughout history. And we are hungry. We want to be part of that. We want to be so filled with you, Holy Spirit. So we pray that especially during this appointed time, when it is truly the time of God's biblical calendar where we celebrate Pentecost, that we would receive a fresh, awesome infilling. We'd be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, because you want the whole world to see Jesus. You want the whole world to be saved. It's all about the harvest. Pentecost is all about the harvest. As we are worshiping, I was standing back there by the banner that you are the Lord of the harvest. And we just see that picture on there of a river of people just flowing to the kingdom of God, to the church first, and then into the kingdom of God. And that's what we long for. And as the word came forth, Pentecost is, yes, it's for the church, but it's for the church to be used so that Jesus can live through each one of us, so that Jesus can continue his ministry through each and every one of us. And that only happens as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we thank you for it. We believe in you for that. We're crying out for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I've already talked about, the day of Pentecost, as we know, is the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, that was the birth of the church, the promise of the Father. But Pentecost, as I mentioned also, is all about harvesting the crops that God has blessed us with and thanking him by bringing our offerings to him. So when the Jews would celebrate Pentecost, you know, it's one of the feasts where they would have to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. So during Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, there were probably 1 million to 2 million people there celebrating Pentecost. And what they were doing was, as I said, Pentecost celebrates the harvest. In Israel, there's two harvest times. The wheat harvest, which happens right now, usually in the end of May or early June. And then there's a fall harvest, when they harvest all the olives and the grapes and things like that, which happens in September and October. But during the Feast of Pentecost, those millions of Jews would have been there for the first of their wheat harvest. And what they do is, you know, anytime God gave a harvest, what they would do when the harvest would start and they'd get that first fruits of the harvest, they would always bring it to the temple and bring along with that offerings to God to say, look, we're just taking this first fruits to give to you because we know that what's coming later is going to be a bountiful harvest. So yeah, we only have a few little bits of harvest right now, but we're not going to hold on to it for ourselves. We're going to give it to you, God, trusting that what's coming, that you're going to supply a great, tremendous harvest. So that's what they were doing. That's what they would do every Pentecost. There was great feasting, great processions, great worship times. times of reading the Word, the reading the Torah, of course. But what they were simply doing was showing their faith and trust in God to bring a bountiful harvest for the rest of the year. Of course, we know the harvest that's represented there in the natural realm of agriculture is meant to motivate us to get busy with the harvest in the spiritual realm. The harvest of souls. That's the banner, Lord of the harvest. That's the heart of the Father right there. He wants us to know, Father God wants us to know that Pentecost is another one of his appointed times he put on his calendar. He wants us to be aware of that so that we're in sync with him for the harvest. He wants us to know, as I mentioned earlier, yes, you can harvest souls for me all year long, but Pentecost is my appointed time to focus specifically on the evangelization and salvation of Jews and Gentiles in your realm of influence and in your church's region of influence. It's a time where we should really get motivated, really specifically focus on those callings. We even had a word from Barbara last week, Barbara and Dick. Barbara gave a word, and she said she was an introvert. She would never do that. And I guess Pete noticed that she had something to say and encouraged her to share what the Holy Spirit had put on her heart. Right, Pete? So she got up, and I mean, she just took off. And she shared. She shared the heart of God, that there are souls dying all over the place. That she instead of using agriculture and farming, though, she used what Jesus said, fishers of men, that there are fish dying all over the place, that we need to start going out to the highways and byways and compelling them to come into the house of God, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and start going all over, was the word. Don't just go to the same places you go to all the time. Go all over and start winning souls for the kingdom of God. We know this was the heart of Jesus. Luke 10, verse 2, Jesus said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." It's not our harvest, it's his harvest. His harvest. The Father's heart, the Lord's heart. Jesus used the name for himself. He is the Lord of the harvest. He said in John 4:35, "Do you not say, oh, well, there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." But Father God knew, in order for us to be able to handle the work that's involved in harvesting souls for his kingdom, he'd need to fill us with the Holy Spirit so we could receive power from on high to accomplish his awesome mission that he's given us. So let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Interesting, he says that he taught them the commandments how? Through the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, I didn't think the Holy Spirit was poured out yet. Through the Holy Spirit. As I was reading this, I felt the Lord gave me one of those little nuggets, you know, as you read through things you've never seen before, that for some reason that phrase just jumped out at me as I was reading through this chapter of Acts. Remember what Jesus told them in John 16, He said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to die. But he promised them before he died, after his departure, the Holy Spirit would descend to be a guide to his apostles, that he would lead them and guide them into all truth, and he would teach them. Remember that in John 16 when he did that? So whatever was done after the death and resurrection of Jesus, think of it this way, was under the unique influence and the direction of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was already in action. Right after the death, burial, and resurrection, we see here, it's interesting that Luke mentions that he taught them, doesn't just say Jesus taught them, what does it? He taught them through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is already in control. So these instructions of Jesus and his commission to the apostles during these 40 days, think of it this way, we're coming from the department of the Holy Spirit, or from the authority of his unique work. So, as I was reading, I started thinking, maybe is it possible that we can just have certain amounts of the Holy Spirit in us? Good question, right? Think about it. We know that the Holy Spirit's presence is mentioned all through the Old Testament. He came upon people. The Spirit of God came upon all of them. Samson, Elijah, all the prophets, David. And in the New Testament, remember, he's always the one that gave power and special abilities to the saints to do great exploits for God. Even after the resurrection of Jesus, I don't know if you've ever wondered about this verse, even after the resurrection of Jesus, when he entered the room where they were hiding for fear of their lives, it seems they received a portion of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 22 says this, remember this? This is right after the resurrection, before Pentecost, it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, how much did they receive? You ever wonder about that? Why, if they received it then, why would there have to be a pouring out on Pentecost? Isn't it kind of interesting to kind of ask these questions? So look, these men were born again. They could understand all the scriptures now. They understood all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus because of what? Remember it says he opened their mind now so they could understand it. Jesus, whatever Jesus was teaching them for that 40 days, they had enough of the Holy Spirit. He was doing it through the Holy Spirit that they could understand the scriptures. They could understand what he was trying to tell them. Sound familiar? I think most of us understand what he's trying to tell us to do most of the time, right? Most of the time. Sometimes we miss it, but most of the time, I think we know. They knew what Jesus wanted them to go and do, but they wouldn't be able to do it until Jesus had ascended to the right hand of the Father and baptized them with the Holy Spirit so that they could receive power from on high. So Acts 1, 4 through 8, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So this is how I kind of broke it down. Again, up to this point, the disciples had a portion of the Holy Spirit. But they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. They weren't filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. They had enough of the Holy Spirit to be saved and born again, to understand their Bibles. They knew they had to get baptized. They knew that they were supposed to receive communion. And they even saw people healed and cast out demons. Right? Who did they do that through? What power did they do that through? The same power that Jesus did, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But they were about to enter a whole new realm of ministry, which is witnessing, sharing the gospel, establishing the church, operating the church. They were going to need to be they were going to need a lot more than just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. They were going to need to be baptized in and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with His power. But witnessing was the main thing. That's what Jesus said. The main purpose that I'm giving you the Holy Spirit is for what? To be my witnesses. Sharing the gospel of Jesus with people who would try to do the same things to them that they did to Jesus for telling them the truth in love. To overcome all fear and doubt, they would need supernatural ability from on high, which is what we receive when Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. The power that we receive that he's talking about here includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. Again, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power that we receive from on high includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. And we need all of these gifts to fulfill our mission. Amen? We need Jesus to baptize us again. That's why that song that we opened with is so powerful. And that's just the message that, and the burden that's been in my heart, is that we will have another Pentecost, that he will send fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh anointing today for the salvation of souls, for the harvest. We need to bring in the harvest for Jesus. Amen. God has important work for all of us to do for him. But we can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is God's appointed timing, and we must trust Jesus to pour out the Holy Spirit to give us the power that we need to be truly effective today, just as he did. And he still does now for those who really want to be his witnesses. Verses 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." I love those words. God's good news has not reached its final destination. If someone in our family, our workplace, our school, or our community hasn't heard the good news about Jesus Christ, well, let's make sure that we're contributing to the harvest in some way by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like the two white-robed men were angels, proclaimed to the disciples that one day Jesus would return in the same way that he had gone, bodily and visibly. Listen, as I thought about this, as I've read through this chapter a couple times, it's a very comforting, you can almost take it as a comforting, oh, don't worry, Jesus will be back the same way that he left. And that is comforting, that's encouraging, we need to know that. But I don't think that's what they were saying. I think they were saying, stop looking up into heaven. Stop just staring up into heaven waiting for me to come back. Get busy doing what I've commissioned you to do. Start doing what I told you to do. Because I will come back. He will come back to judge the living and the dead. Remember, Jesus taught about the talents. He's going to come back and judge us for the gifts that he's given us. How have we used them? Have we used them for the kingdom? Have we increased the harvest with what he's given us? I think that's what they were saying, really. Stop wasting time talking about end times. It's good to know eschatology and know end time prophecy, but don't just waste all your time looking up and waiting for Jesus to come back. We are supposed to look for it, but while we're waiting for him, we are to occupy and we're to be about our Father's business, and we're to be about what he's called us to do, be witnesses for him. Amen. We should be ready for his sudden return, but not by standing around staring into heaven, but by working hard to share the good news so that others will be able to share in God's great blessings. So after Jesus ascended to the right hand of our Father, they trusted and obeyed him. When he told them, this is in Luke 24, he told them, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." So this was 40 days after Jesus ascended, 40 days after he rose from the dead. He was with them teaching them. Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection. So they had 10 days to wait and pray and wonder, what is this going to look like? What's going to happen? What does he mean that we're going to receive power from on high? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? So suddenly, after 10 days of worshiping and praising and praying and waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, they received power from on high when Jesus sent the promise of our Father upon them and baptized them in the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ was born. The church was born. Let's read about it in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Remember, there's millions of them there, hearing this, seeing this. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language, which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, those in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs. And we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." The fire came down upon them. We know that also Pentecost celebrates when God gave the law at Mount Sinai. And what happened at Mount Sinai? 3,000 died, but also the fire descended upon the whole mountain. Here, which represents God's presence and power, here the fire descends upon individuals. The fire of God. Lord, send the fire. That fire is intended to cause us to fill us with the Holy Spirit, baptize us, and cause us to speak the wonderful works of God. Whatever they may be, but especially the gospel, the incarnation of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. All these Jews from all over the different nations were hearing all about the work that God had done through his son, Jesus Christ. And they took that back to the nations, and what did they do? They spread it all over. So when that fire started in Jerusalem, it takes off and it spreads. The fire is for everybody else. We want the fire here. That's good. But the fire isn't for us just to have the fire here in Word of Victory Church on Sundays or when we have services here. We do want that. But we're supposed to take it from here and spread that fire out there everywhere we go. Amen? There's no greater message. There's nothing greater than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only message that sets people free. It is the power of God unto salvation. Nothing else can save people except for from their sins and from eternal judgment, except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing. Look, when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you're sharing and witnessing, let me tell you, it takes a little bit of practice because you have to use that boldness that the Holy Spirit gives you and start doing it first. You know, when I prepare a message, I have to spend hours trying to prepare and get my thoughts down and everything. But when I'm out witnessing and I start sharing with somebody and the Holy Spirit comes upon me and gives me power and ability, I'll tell you what, things flow from me that I know or absolutely would never have come from my mind or my reasoning. But the Holy Spirit has given me power and he's given me ability to speak things directly into that person's life, especially the gospel. We had an incredible encounter just this last Thursday at the mall. We're praying for divine appointments. Well, I got there a little early and I was waiting for Marilyn and I forgot my business cards. So when I first walked into the mall, this guy walked by me. So I thought this little nudge to maybe kind of talk to him right there before Marilyn got there, but I didn't. So I walked in, waited. I forgot my cards. So when I'm walking back out to get my cards, this guy walks right back by me. So I still didn't talk to him. So Marilyn and I sit there and pray, and we're praying, Lord, give us divine appointments. We want to talk to people. As soon as we take off and turn around, guess who's sitting right there? Same guy. It did take a little while for me to figure it out, but that I knew the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak to him. So we talked to him, and this guy was just the most gentle, humble man, and he was definitely relying on his own good works to get him into heaven, and I was able to, by the Holy Spirit, to just sit there and share the gospel with him and let him know what he really needed to do, that there was no way he was getting in by his own good works and his own goodness. And he just listened and listened and received and received. He took a track and he took my card, and we really encouraged him to make sure that he takes care of his eternal salvation before he went to bed that night. And it was just a wonderful time. But, you know, we've had other times there where, you know, you speak to these millennials that want to ask you all these questions about, if God's so good, why does suffering happen? Why does he let all these things go on? Look, I haven't studied a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of good teachings out there. But the Holy Spirit just came upon me that day, and I shared with him. That was one of the days when I was like, well, I don't know where that came from. You know, but that was the Holy Spirit. And he was very grateful and very thankful. And he even said, wow, that was a very interesting conversation. You remember that? So it's just amazing. That's what the Holy Spirit came to give us. So let's pray. And if you want to know what they were doing for those 10 days, Luke kind of tells us actually a little bit in his gospel. Luke 24, verse 46, I'm going to start in. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead a third day. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. So we know that at that point Jesus ascended to heaven, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So for 10 days they were in the temple, in the upper room, praising, worshiping, blessing God, praying, seeking the Holy Spirit. And I think that's just an example of how we need to seek him, and a great example of a way that we can get into his presence and receive a fresh baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit. Always through praise, through worship, blessing God, telling him, like we sing, how much we love him, and continually asking him, showing him that we really want this. We really want to be your witnesses, your disciples, the leaders of your body. We want everything that we need to live a pure and holy life, like the song we sang, to be righteous before people, that people will see the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in us, and that we'll be able to share the gospel effectively and bring in a great harvest for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're going to do right now. We'll let the worship team come up, and we're going to praise and worship God. And I am believing that he's going to fill this place with his glory, that Jesus is going to baptize each and every one of us afresh and anew, not to just have a little bit. Do you want just a little bit of the Holy Spirit, or do you want to be filled to overflowing? Filled to overflowing, baptized to overflowing. Linda, you have a word to share? Pete said you have a word.
When we were back in intercessory prayer this morning, started praying for this nation and our president. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision. This might seem a little silly, but what he does isn't silly. He gave me a vision of a rug. Okay, there was a rug atop. The Congress, the Senate, everybody, Nancy Pelosi, our president, our vice president, and he started rolling this rug down. And as he started rolling this rug down, the Holy Spirit, he kept saying, "This is evil, and I'm rolling it down. I'm rolling it down over the president, and I'm rolling it down over all the Congress, all the representatives, and everybody." And he says, "When I get done rolling this evil down, I am going to take it and I'm going to send it right out into the ocean." And he said, "All that evil is going to go down into the ocean." And he says, "My waves of glory, my waves of mercy, my waves of compassion are going to just overtake that evil, and I'm going to send it right out. And my tsunami is going to come in like a river off of that ocean. And this country is going to be the way that I had it when I made it way back when. Thank you, Lord." And he said, "Everyone is going to be touched by it. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell there, make his camp there." And he said, "I am going to just sweep it all out, sweep all the evil out, and I'm going to come and I'm going to replace it with who I am, the Holy Spirit. And he says, you've been calling for the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm coming with great and awesome power, great and awesome promises. Don't give up praying. Then I saw that ocean just overtake all in the Congress. Everybody, and everybody was on their knees. This is what he showed me. He showed me, oh, thank you, Jesus. He just showed me repentant hearts that are crying out to him. Repentance, evilness, witchcraft. The Lord showed me all of that, and he's taken it all out as he rolled up that rug, sent it out into the ocean, never to return again, which tells me he's doing a second Pentecost over there where our president is, in Washington, D.C. I thank you for that. Thank you in Jesus' name.